Bobrovsky, Sam Nation here on News Talk M840 KXNT. You're listening to Sam Nation, and I am happy to be here. Happy Sunday. It is August the 2nd. I have no idea where this year is going, other than I'm ready for it to be gone. All right, as always, just a reminder, we are on Stitcher, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and of course, live here on KXNT every Sunday, and we have a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you something great that happened to me this week. Well, I say great. I'm able to make fun of these things. I slipped into a little bit of hot water on Twitter, Anyway, I apparently am a regressive. Some lady called me a regressive. Now, why? Well, I posted something about Chick-fil-A. You want to know what I posted about Chick-fil-A? I posted something about me liking a spicy chicken sandwich. Now, friends, I can't make this up. I literally put up a post about the photograph of me going, not even of me, of my view out my front windshield going through the drive-thru at the Chick-fil-A that is off of Sahara and Rancho. And I'm at that. This is in Las Vegas for those of you who are not here in town. Very nice Chick-fil-A. Nice people out there. Super organized. For me, it is all about the chicken sandwich, sometimes the nuggets. It is not, for me personally, it's not about the politics. And the context of the argument that was being made is that my support of Chick-fil-A by buying a $3 menu item disqualifies me from the human race. I mean, that was the gist of it. And it got me thinking, because this is where we've gotten. So I met with a friend of mine who is, we are different politically. He's very active here in the Arts District in downtown Las Vegas. But we're friends because, you know, it's America. And I don't have any underlying psychological problems, nor does he, that would prevent us from talking as human beings. So I say to him, I say, you wouldn't believe this. And he goes, oh, I know who that is. And he goes, but you've got to understand, you know, that there are a lot of people, myself included, who think that Chick-fil-A, who know that Chick-fil-A has supported a lot of anti-gay charities. And so my dollar means something to me. I don't have very many of them. And the dollars that I have and I spend, I vote with those dollars. My answer to that is, everything with what he said is absolutely true, American, proper, and fine. I found out that a restaurant that Robert De Niro owns, I would go to from time to time. I stopped going there because I don't want to put any money into Robert De Niro's pocket. That's my right. But can you imagine if this particular restaurant in my mind that is owned by De Niro, if I started to write off people that go and eat there, I don't want to give it any press. It's a sushi restaurant. Somebody's there for the hand roll, and I see them walking out. I said, that's it. You are out. I'm done with you. It's over. Case closed. Turn in your human race card. You're out. Of course not. That's absurd. That's literally bananas. And I told him that. I said, that's fine. But you can't, you know, this is about people. You can't just disqualify people. You can spend your money where you want, can vote the way you want, but we need to get along. And it brought me to just a few days ago, a week ago, as a matter of fact, the Cato Institute did a survey, And they found in their poll, they do this poll every once in a while, and they determine how many people. First, they determine who you are politically, where you are on the spectrum. And then they try to determine how afraid you are of sharing your political views. And what they found, the headline of the article is that 62% of Americans are terrified of sharing their political views. And it's precisely because there are bat crap crazy people out there running around who will think that you're a Nazi, who literally will consider you to be a regressive person. Those are not my words. A regressive person for eating a spicy chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. The study found that self-censorship is on the rise in the United States. Surprise, surprise. We all know this, of course, because we've experienced it, haven't we? Nearly two-thirds, 62% of Americans say that the political climate these days prevents them from saying things they believe because others might find them offensive. The share of Americans who self-censor has risen several points since 2017, which I guess is the last time they did the study, when 58% of Americans agreed with the statement. Now, they then break it down based on ideological groups. And here is, in my view, here's where it gets interesting. So you got Democrats, you got independents, you got Republicans. Who do you think feels the most safe to share their political views? Well, Democrats, of course. Only 52% of Democrats are afraid. Republicans, the number went up. 77% of Republicans are terrified to tell anybody what they think politically. But the fascinating takeaway from the story is not what the two, I will say extremes, but the two political parties, people affiliated to political parties think about this. But the fact that what number has gone up significantly, the number that has risen significantly, is the percentage of independents that are terrified to share their political views. And this, to me, actually is the most alarming thing, because if you walk into a coffee shop on August the 2nd, 2020, and you say to somebody, I think that these things about Trump are bad, and I think that these things about Trump are good. Meaning you have an independent kind of middle of the road position where you don't see everything as good, and you don't see everything as bad. When you're looking at a particular political person, candidate, figure, idea, perhaps, what's going to happen? The only takeaway from that conversation will be, especially, gosh forbid, you don't have it in a coffee shop, but you have it online with somebody somewhere, is that you're a Trump lover and you're a regressive person. You need to be canceled. Independence, this number has risen. This was the biggest number to rise. It used to be under 50%. So a majority of them felt safe 13 years ago to share their opinions, or 3 years ago, excuse me. But now that number has gone up significantly. Now, when we come back, I want to continue talking about this because I believe that this is the greatest problem facing our country, our communities, our mental well-being as people, as Americans. We got to address this. There's another statistic from this thing that I think I want to share this with you when we come back, because I would argue the most important statistic in all of this, something to be aware of. Okay. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here on KXNT AM 840. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back right after this.
Las Vegas is a place where working the system can get you in serious trouble. I'm looking at you, card counters.
But why not go after the system in a positive way? At Sam & Ash, we provide that with the best personal injury representation.
And as a former insurance defense attorney, I know their tricks, and we use that to your advantage.
With our compassionate yet tenacious drive, we'll get you the maximum settlement that you deserve.
So call us anytime at 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation, here on AM 840 KXNT, Nevada's favorite recovering Californian and proud regressive person. If you're just tuning in, I had somebody call me that. Call me a regressive person because I ate at Chick-fil-A. So this brought me, of course, to the Cato Institute study that they just published a week ago. And they go through how people are the fear right now in our communities across America. Fear is up for people to share their political views. People do not want to be honest. And this also goes hand in hand with a concept called preference falsification. I don't know if you've heard of this, but this is the idea where people basically will adapt their political views, change their political views in an effort to please their environment. We know these good people as political chameleons. Now, why do animals, certain animals in the wild, why do they adapt over time, evolve to be able to camouflage themselves? Well, because they don't want to get eaten. So this is apparently, you probably know people out there that, you know, when they're out in public, they say certain things, or certainly say don't say certain things. But then in private, they feel very differently in private. But I was telling you right before the break, there's a statistic that came out of this Cato Institute study that I think is very interesting. And that's that they went and they asked strong liberals and strong conservatives a specific question. And that question was, do you feel that supporters or donors of your political opponent should be fired? Specifically, the question they asked of liberals is, do you support firing Trump donors? And then conservatives, right, they asked them, do you support firing Biden donors? 50% of strong liberals identified in this study by the Cato Institute said that Trump supporters, Trump donors ought to be fired. 36% of strong conservatives supported firing Biden donors. Pretty big gap. I'm embarrassed, frankly, that 36% of strong conservatives feel that way. Because I'm going to tell you, this is not what conservatism is. You know what's fascinating? Is this type of behavior, I'm going to sum it up, I'm going to call it for what it is, regardless of what side it happens on. This type of dismissing people, cutting people because of their political views, this is a very low-end behavior. This is not the way high-level players operate. It's also not American. You know, the most important and treasured thing that we have in our society is dissent. We talk a lot about speech, but really, it's not free speech. It's about dissent. It's about saying something that perhaps is in the minority, extreme minority. The ability to be able to articulate it. Some of the, I don't know, the most significant eras of progress in our country started, right, where those fires were lit by dissenters. And not to get too personal here, I know those of you who followed the program for a number of years know that once upon a time I was a practicing and faithful Latter-day Saint. Now, what happened over the course of the years is I was growing up, and in my 20s and into my 30s, I realized that the church was taking a lot of positions that I didn't agree with. But that didn't cause me to leave. I left because at the time, and I think it's still continuing, articulate, many times thoughtful dissenters within my church were being excommunicated, were being shunned, were being tossed out, and they were coming. I have a few people in mind. I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole, but I have a few people in mind who were not agitators. They weren't haters. They weren't critical people. They were critical. They were critical of certain church positions, and my thinking was, look, if I'm going to devote the amount of time, effort, and energy, invest into a church, into a religion, I got to have, it has to be the type of organization that tolerates dissent. We as a country have to be the kind of place that allows for dissent. And, you know, I'll say this, structurally, we are. I'm a lawyer. Every time there is a Supreme Court decision, how is the Supreme Court decision decided? Do you know this? The justices get together, the 9 Supreme Court justices, and they talk. And I've had different people in the court tell me they essentially know right away where everybody's going to sit, unless you're John Roberts, because he's a bit wishy-washy. He's going to figure out where the wind's blowing first. But you know, you kind of know where Justice Thomas is going to be, and you know where Ms. Kagan is going to be. You know where they're at. So they sit, they discuss, and then a very important thing happens. There's, at some point in the process, there's a vote. And because, again, this is a democracy, we're America, what are we? We are a country of what? Of majority rule. In other words, the opinion of the court, the decision that the court makes, is made by the majority of the justices, but it doesn't end there. There's something very important that occurs. Don't worry. If you're lost, it's fine. I'm going to get you there. There's something very important that happens. The people that got outvoted on the court in a Supreme Court decision, they write an opinion too. And it is actually called the dissent. And sometimes there are multiple dissenting opinions that are published. In other words, in the highest court in the land of the United States, enshrined in our legal political system, is the concept of dissent. And of hearing what the other side, even if they're on the losing side, has to say. Nowhere in that process is an idea that the loser, the dissenter, the person who is quote unquote wrong, doesn't deserve to be heard. And also, if you know anything about the court, the legendary friendships that Justice Scalia, the most conservative right-wing justice that we've had in a long time, his relationships that he was able to have with very liberal justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they were able to be friendly. Now, what that says to me is that intelligent, capable people who have strong opinions are able to get along. And it's only in the context of this just nonsensical 24-hour news cycle where you have, everything, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, then you've got social media and people, by the way, this is why social media is a toilet. That's French for toilet. I'm kidding. It's not. But I thought I'd be cute about it. It's a toilet. Social media is literally a dump. And it is a dump because people, I'll sum it up very simply. People say things on social media that they would never say to your face. Every problem in life I've ever had with anyone, I've solved face to face. I have made my clients more money by talking to the other side, winning them over. I've never, ever, really, I'm looking back at this. I did a lot of thinking about this. I don't think I've ever succeeded by throwing Molotov cocktails at anybody. And I don't mean in the Portland kind of way. I'm just talking by throwing around big nasty words and sending nasty, you know, nasty gram letters. The problem is that the lowest form of communication is calling somebody a certain label. You're not debating their position. You're not having intellectual discourse. In many cases, the people that do this are incapable of doing that. They're intellectual cripples. They're emotionally invested in an argument versus trying to get it and understanding it. So if you don't like the donations that Chick-fil-A has made to anti-gay causes, and historically I would describe that as a true statement, although they've stopped doing that this past year, don't shop at Chick-fil-A. But the people that go into that Chick-fil-A day in and day out, they are your neighbors, they are your friends, and they do not deserve this kind of thing. Now, me, I've got a thick skin. I am literally a rhinoceros when it comes to this stuff. But it just pains me that in our community, in this beautiful city here in Las Vegas with so many great people, that we would just want to cancel somebody over something so trivial. I mean, really, at the end of the day. All right, now I'm going to dump on Trump a little bit. You may not like hearing this, but I got to tell you, there are some real concerns that I have. And I, again, this is where it comes to. It's balanced. I'm a thinking human being, and I'm thinking for myself. So don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation here on the Sam Nation Radio Network on AM 840 KXNT. Have you been injured in a car or motorcycle accident and the insurance adjuster will only pay a fraction of your claim, or even worse, nothing at all? That's not right.
What is right? Finding an attorney who will be a fighter for you when you need it most.
At Sam & Ash, we are revolutionizing personal injury representation by focusing on your rights and your recovery.
Call us anytime at 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Sam & Ash, because you deserve what's right.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation here on News Talk AM 840 KXNT. This is a Karen free zone. We don't shout at you. We don't shame you. We support you in whatever position you may have, because we believe in America, the concept of a country where views, no matter how crazy they may seem to one person, are the right of the other to have. And to express these views in an open marketplace of ideas is the only way the best ideas rise to the top. So, what the heck is Trump doing? The problem, here's the problem. And let's just go back a little bit. There is no doubt that Donald Trump was elected president because he was able to capture and break apart, but capture airtime, capture interest, attention, each and every news cycle by being bombastic. I mean, he was running against 100 other Republicans, if you recall, back in 2015. It was a crowded field. And the only way that you break out as the 1%, you know, sub 1% candidate in the primary is to, well, you gotta stroll in, a chicken suit. I mean, you've got to do something that's attention grabbing. Now, along comes a victory. Trump becomes president. And he still is trying to, every time there is a little fire, a little bit of smoke, the guy goes to throws gasoline on it. There's no other way to say it. Give you an example. Of course, I'll give you an example. July 4th weekend, he gives a tremendous speech at Mount Rushmore. I was watching and I said, look, he does this, he's going to get reelected. And 48 hours later, he's tweeting about Bubba Wallace? It's pointless. It's useless. It is the only thing you're doing is you're grabbing attention, but it's not good attention. And at this point, not all attention, not all news is good news. You have to, as president, unite this country. Look at the statistics that we talked about, the Cato Institute, people afraid to share their views. You know, the simple thing for a conservative talk show host to do is to say, you know what? That's the news media. You know what? That's social media. But some of the blame for this, a lot of it, lays at Trump's feet. He cannot let things go. And he's missed an opportunity to be a comforter, a uniter, and a father figure to a country. And look, if you disagree with what I'm saying here, you're gagging in your mouth the idea of Trump being a uniter or a father figure. He could have been that. He has that capability. But his instincts are so off that it is this election right now, he may lose it. And he's losing it. It's of his own doing. Now, I don't place, again, because of people being afraid to talk about their views. Also, you know, that whole concept we talked about earlier, preference falsification. When it comes to polls, I'm very skeptical of polls right now. I think politically, where we are right now, this election is going to be unlike anything we have ever seen. Anyone that claims they can predict what's going to happen is just moving a Ouija board marker across the board. No idea. The reason for it is that COVID has been the ultimate disruptor. COVID is, you know, look, it's real. People are dying of this. It's some people, most thankfully, recover quickly without hardly any symptoms. But some, even people that at least seem to me to be relatively healthy in their 40s, are getting taken down by this. And that fear, right, when we strip away politics, it's a challenge to do these days, but you strip away politics and the mask debate and everything, people are genuinely concerned to go to a rally. They're concerned to go to a concert. They don't want to go out. So all the stuff that normally happens leading up to an election that helps get the base excited, because elections are made by a motivated base. It all bets are off here. So I think one of the big debates right now is the whole concept of mail voting, ballot, you know, mail-in ballot voting. And this issue, I hate to say, I think it should be a cross-party lines agreement that voter fraud is bad. That in order for our democracy to function properly, we need to have a correct, tabulation of votes and only count each person's vote once and not have people vote multiple times, not have people vote who shouldn't be voting, and certainly not have voter fraud. Right now in Nevada, big issue. There's a bill up in special session. I think it's AB4 that deals with this. And it's basically diluting the joke of signature verification that was. It's diluting that even more. There's really not going to be, if this bill gets passed, there's not going to be any real signature verification. So Trump, in the middle of all of this, tweets out that, you know, we ought to delay the election. Now, I'll explain to you what he's just rabble-rousing. Now, it captured the news cycle. We're talking about it. People back and forth. What's his upside on that? Tell me what the upside is. Practically, there's nothing. I don't want to see the election delayed one bit. I also don't think that the start of the school year should be delayed. I'm one of these people. We ought to take the highest degree of measures to protect ourselves and our kids, our teachers, everybody, election workers. But we need to have, we need to get on with life. We need to move forward. And here's the problem. There's going to be a tremendous amount of fraud with the more mail-in ballots that we have. These ballots are very easy to duplicate. That's the number one problem for me personally. I understand that there can be mail ballot harvesting where they go out and they find ballots that have been printed by the election board and they fraudulently fill them out. I get that. But these ballots can be reproduced. This isn't like a money. These ballots are printed on a laser printer in many cases. Any print shop can produce additional ballots. And if they're not verifying signatures and they're using legitimate addresses and they're just running these through a machine and tabulating them, I mean, it can really disrupt an election. Now, here's what Trump said about this at a briefing on Thursday. A reporter asks him, are we going to launch an effort to try and delay the election? Or was that just a trial balloon this morning? And here's what Trump says.
You're sending out hundreds of millions of universal mail-in ballots. Hundreds of millions. Where are they going? Who are they being sent to? It's common sense. You don't have to know anything about politics. And the Democrats know this. The Democrats know this, Steve.
He's right. The Democrats do know this. Because here, back in 2008, this was Bush had was done, right? And we had somebody called McCain running against somebody named Obama. And here is a CNN report about exactly the same topic 12 years ago, talking about, and you'll also hear Debbie Wasserman Schultz is talking about how scary and potentially fraught with fraud mail-in voting can be.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz argues a mail-in ballot has wrong written all over it.
It'd be a risky experiment for us with an election that has stakes as high as a presidential election does. We've never done a mail-in ballot statewide.
Wasserman Schultz is worried about signature fraud, disenfranchising college students, getting addresses wrong, and having private donors instead of states footing the bill. She favors seating the delegates already chosen.
But there's a way to solve this without totally redoing this and causing more chaos.
I agree with her. I agreed with her then. My positions on this topic have been long established. So here's the problem. I delay the election, no, but this is serious. I think it's going to be the biggest problem facing us. The June New York primary was a total mess. The first large-scale test of mail-in voting during the pandemic left one in five New Yorkers with their votes being tossed out. That's like the established statistic. Could even be more. Now, there's no authority. The president has no authority to delay the election. Okay, it is what it is. It's a constitutional issue. Can't happen. So don't. So to that end, Trump's tweet is just another pointless distraction. But he is absolutely right when it comes to the issue of voter fraud. It's going to happen. And I, for one, am very concerned about it. Part of the attack on Attorney General Bill Barr is an effort to discredit him ahead of this election. I promise you that. I'll explain this when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, on the Sam Nation Radio Network and News Talk AM 840 KXNT. Finding the right personal injury attorney in the bright lights of Las Vegas used to be as tough as finding free parking on the Strip.
Now, both have changed. At Sam & Ash, you'll get experienced lawyers who care about you and only you.
We've recovered a total of over $400 million for our clients.
And while no one can guarantee a result in your case, experience like ours matters.
Call us anytime, 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right. Hi. Yes, we're back. We're back. Don't cry. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation on News Talk AM 840 KXNT. Happy Sunday. I am the king of common sense, rarely wrong, always right. Here in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, I do love my town. Now, Bill Barr testified this week in Congress, and it was, it reminded me of that movie, The Ringer, where an able-bodied person put himself into the Special Olympics. The Republicans, too, Bill Barr has an intellect that is next level. This is not a controversial thing that I'm saying. He is a brilliant guy. So I understand if you disagree with him politically, you are seething because Bill Barr wiped the floor with everybody. It was unbelievable. I haven't had that much fun since, I can't believe I'm saying this, John Roberts' confirmation hearing when Joe Biden, then a senator, was questioning Roberts about some of his positions, and Roberts just played with him like he was a mouse. It was, you know, he just tossed him back and forth. Biden threw his hands up at the end of that hearing. Producer Robert, do you remember this? Yeah, he just threw his hands up and he goes, you're good. Well, here, much the same happens where they really can't. The congressmen and women, persons, they control the time and the floor. So really what you heard them is you just heard them diatribing against Bill Barr. And then when the Republicans came up, the Republicans say they would get up and they would say kind of some stupid ham-fisted, you know, campaign stuff. The smart Republicans just got out of the way and said and gave the time to Bill Barr to answer the attack from the previous Democrat questioning him, because what they do is they switch off, right? They go, it's a Democrat, a Republican, Republican. You get how that works. So here is just a little audio nibble of what it sounded like, a little compilation of Barr's testimony in front of the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday.
It wasn't reclaiming my time in April.
Times is when does something actually become custody?
Reclaiming my time. I'm site. This is not a trick question.
I'm reclaiming my time, Mr. General.
Without any remedy.
I'm reclaiming my time. Let me share with you.
Well, you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time.
Directed.
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time.
He found reclaiming my time without political bias.
He said he
and
found
in April,
evidence.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. General. In reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Barr.
Occurring substances.
Attorney General, reclaiming my time. There are rules by which we operate here. I would ask you to respect them.
But
there's
the
no
64 Act did not extend to.
Reclaiming my time, sir. In both documents.
Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
Stop it. End it. This is painful. I can't even listen to this horse crap. Look, that's what it sounded like. They just kept. They would bait him. He'd start to answer, and then they'd cut him off. Excuse me, I'm reclaiming my time. Now, in case you're wondering, this has nothing to do with recycling. This has everything to do with the certain time limits that each member of Congress has to ask questions. And so they use that time to talk themselves. There is no interest to hear from the witness. And if there was, they would have let him talk. But they politically understand that what they're trying to do, they're trying to get a quick soundbite of them on video asking a tough question that they're going to use in an ad. They're all running for re-election in 12 minutes from now. So this is a political year and a political stunt. But mark my words, the rounds of media appearances that have followed discrediting Barr are all about weakening him going into the election, because Barr would be the chief law enforcement officer that would remain in place until the 20th of January. I believe that's the day that Trump would leave the White House. So if Trump loses the election, he still remains president for about 2 months. And in that time, if there's been voter fraud, right, the attorney general would be the one to investigate it, because this is a federal election. So it'd be federal voter fraud. So I just want to give you that bit of context. Now, Representative Lou Correa, Democrat, California, this is a classic. Here's just a quick exchange between Barr and him.
Department looked at it and advised that Congress can determine the meaning of inhabitant for this purpose, that it is not a self-defining term, as they
only got 2 minutes, sir.
That they recognized,
Mr. Barr, if I
yeah, but this is a hearing. I thought I was the one that was supposed to be heard.
Well, let me, and I'm going to get there.
Yeah, I thought this was a hearing. I thought I was the guy supposed to be. Yeah, you know, whatever. No, the members of Congress, very important for everybody to understand. They are the ones that want to be heard when it comes to these things. So not to expect much. Now, let me give you some Las Vegas news. This is important. Big, big good news, I think, at least in terms of what a stellar company Las Vegas Sands is. This is the casino operator owned by Sheldon Adelson. They have the Venetian, the Palazzo, and the Sands Convention Center that's behind the properties. They will be paying. They've agreed to pay their employees pay and benefits through October 31st for those that are not working. Now, we've got some other news here. The Tropicana apparently is now officially up for sale. So if you're looking for a nice, slightly used casino that has a historic muster, has some ambiance, right? I mean, the Tropicana is so old that it was an established casino back in Diamonds Are Forever, you know, in James Bond. It's where he stayed back in that movie. So, yeah, Tropicana is up for sale. And rumors are now swirling that the Sahara will close permanently. Now, the Sahara's gone out and denied it. And in all fairness, I get that they have to deny it even if it's true, because nobody says, well, please, you know, please come to our casino, go to our restaurant, make reservations. And by the way, we'll be closing in 30 days. Nobody does that. So they're denying it. I think, you know, we looked at room rates, and a year ago, a midweek room rate, like a discounted room rate at the Sahara, was about $1.29 a night. Those prices now are $32 a night. So by the way, if you're looking for a great deal, want to come to Vegas, $32 a night for the Sahara. And it's a nice hotel. It's a very nice hotel. Some nice restaurants, great casino. It jumps up to $71 on the weekend. Before the pandemic hit, you couldn't get the Travelodge on Las Vegas Boulevard for that kind of money. So good time to go. But those numbers are just not sustainable. Occupancy at the Venetian Palazzo have dropped 63%. So this is a big again. Average daily room rates have dropped over 35%, and MGM now has posted a loss of $1 billion. That's with a B, dollars in Q2. Only $290 million in revenues. And here's what it all comes down to: it's conventions, 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 conventions. We got to get past COVID, because until this thing sails, both in reality and in perception, this town is not going to be doing well. So somebody asked me the other day, what's your political position? I said, I'm pro-Vegas. Because what we need to get past COVID. We need to get beyond this. We need to start talking to one another. And we need to get our city, our state, and our country back to work. All right, that's it. Sunday, have a great rest of your day. Great to be here with you. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, News Talk, AM 840 KXNT. Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and TuneIn.